Today is it is the pleasure of the Saturday night, the Not Ready for Primetime Players Group, formerly with Saturday Night Live, to bring you their 15th performance of The Saga of Susie the Souse. We've been performing this play since 1986. We've taken it all over Northern California. It was written by a member of our fellowship, Mary L., in 1982. And our very first performance was for the group Saturday Night Live. So I want you to know that the part of the AA baby today is being played by Davina M. And now, ladies and gentlemen, The Saga of Susie the Souse.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our presentation, The Saga of Susie the Souse. Today we will share with you in words and song what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now for a person you all know, Susie the Souse. Actually, our play is about the Susie in each of us, the person who dreams and tries, laughs and cries, and struggles daily with the disease of alcoholism. So just let yourself relax and remember, go back to a time when your life was simple, or at least less complicated, a time when there were no hassles with hangovers and hiding bottles, or even sponsors and the 12 steps. Once upon a time, there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass or two. Remember how we laughed away the hours and dreamed of all the great things we would do. Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever. We fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way. La 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 la.
In the
beginning, drinking was indeed fun for Susie. She soon found that alcohol gave her a kind of freedom and changed her personality, her style, her whole image. Under the influence, she could become any kind of woman she wanted to be or thought others wanted her to be. Sophisticated lady, sophisticated lady, she's a different lady with a different style. She stands tall and spare like the Apple Tower. She's hip to politics and loves her jazz. She's got lots of rhythm, she's got lots of class. Everybody knows,
everybody,
how she got her name. Some of the people who knew her became concerned about her at times and tried to help her. It seemed everyone except Susie knew that she drank too much and that she wasn't taking very good care of herself. But she always resented what she called those intrusions into her private life and rejected any advice she was given.
That old black magic has her in its spell. That old black magic we all knew so well. Those icy fingers up and down her spine. The same old witchcraft from a glass of wine.
Know it, but she too was sometimes concerned about herself, like when she couldn't remember what happened the night before.
It seems we stood and talked like this before. Where we
Many things to many people, and rarely true to herself. But then she had no idea who she really was anyway. Periodically, she would put on a new attitude and manner to see how it felt and how people seemed to like her that way. Yeah. The results were never good enough or quite what she expected. One thing was certain, she just didn't know how to get what she wanted out of life. When she did quit thinking about herself, or her life, or her problems, to get involved with another person or another project, she was a very intense person. Demanding such intensity from life naturally proved destructive, and adding booze to her relationships ensured disaster after disaster. She might become tired of saying, "I'm sorry," the morning after, and start looking for a new man, one who would understand her, or her current involvement would decide he deserved better treatment, and he would leave her. Either way, she would end up once more alone and lonely. The more she drank to get away from her problems, the more numerous, bothersome, and frightening they became. Also, she had more and more difficulty living in the present. It seemed that life was never as good now as it was in the good old days.
Yesterday, our troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here. She believes in yesterday's strategy. She
Everything Susie had tried to make her life fun or meaningful or interesting had turned out badly. She got into trouble in every area of her life and became convinced that not only had all the people she had once known deserted her, God had deserted her as well. As her moods blackened, her desire to escape intensified. Naturally, she drank more, not knowing that alcohol deepened her depressions. She started thinking about suicide. That was when she got the idea that if she moved to a new city, she wouldn't have to kill herself and all her other problems would disappear as well. Yes, indeed, a geographic cure was what she needed.
Her travels brought her finally to California, where she was certain her life would improve dramatically, but the bright promise of yet another new beginning quickly faded. Once again, she was alone and lonely. She found a friendly neighborhood bar, which turned out to be not so friendly after all. But then, all she wanted to do now was drink anyway. So she often drank alone in her room. It was cheaper, she rationalized, and safer too, since her blackouts were unpredictable and more frequent than before. Wherever she was, and whoever she was with, her feelings were always the same.
Before the world led me astray. Well, if you do, then forgive me and make the world go away. Make the world go away and get off my shoulder.
Relentlessly and without mercy, the disease of alcoholism progressed in Susie, as it does in all alcoholics. The accompanying feelings of terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair finally forced her to admit defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Susie came to Alcoholics Anonymous in desperation, when she just couldn't hurt anymore. But her pain made her receptive and open. So the magic of Alcoholics Anonymous began to work for her immediately. She didn't understand most of what she heard at first, but she did begin to feel that there was hope and that there was a place she belonged here. Susie was told that she didn't ever have to drink again, and she gladly accepted this permission to stop drinking. She did not know just how close she had come to an alcoholic death, but she knew she had no options left. As she continued to come back, she was surprised to find that here was a place where she was safe and today, and where she was beginning to feel that there was a real hope for her future.
Hi, everyone. My name is Susie, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Susie.
She started going to meetings like she drank every day. As her head began to clear and her body and soul began to heal, she experienced long-forgotten miracles, like mornings without hangovers, the feeling of sun on her face, and the simple joy of watching children. And she learned how to laugh and play again.
Thank you.
AA really cared about Susie and helped her to learn and care about herself. They lovingly shared their own experience, strength, and hope with her, and they watched her and helped her whenever they could. One area of difficulty was quite evident to people. Her tendency to want everything her own way. But not only that, she wanted everything in bigger chunks than she could ever handle. And she wanted it right now. To this, an old-timer very wisely responded. Susie had so many questions. Some of them she didn't feel comfortable asking at meetings, so she listened to the other AA women and asked one of them to be her sponsor. Together they shared, and Susie began to understand something about acceptance, letting go, and letting God, and living one day at a time. To Susie's dismay, her sponsor said that everything about her must change. But she did add that Susie had the rest of her life in which to do it. To help her get rid of her character defects and know what and how to change, she was told she could find all the help and tools she needed in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The most important tool she found is the 12 steps. Although they are only suggested steps to recovery, it was made quite clear to Susie that alcoholics of our type have little chance of recovery if we avoid the steps. She had particular trouble with step 9, making direct amends to those she had harmed. Since she had previously had so often had to say she was sorry the morning after for things she didn't even remember doing. But she did what she was told in spite of her misgivings. Unlike the apologies of her drinking days, making amends in sobriety made Susie feel lighter and much better about herself. She no longer had to regret or try to close the door on the past. As she continued to repair the wreckage of her past, she felt a new freedom and began to understand the meaning of serenity. But problems kept cropping up to disturb this new serenity. At a meeting, she heard that these problems can be looked at as opportunities or challenges, situations that, with the help of her higher power, would help her become a better person. Eventually, Susie became a sponsor to a woman who was new in AA and was able to pass on what she was given. In this way, she understood the meaning of the phrase, "You must give it away to keep it." Being a sponsor helped her to see better what she had learned and how far she had come. She tried to share with her AA baby how she would change and grow if she worked the AA program. The more Susie learns, the more she finds she has to learn. And so her life has become a series of new beginnings. She sometimes feels like a newcomer herself. She is no longer confused by this, but has come to expect this as one of the many benefits of living sober one day at a time. Susie's story, like most success stories in AA, indicates that this wonderful program of ours really works if we thoroughly follow the path of the first 100 men and women. Our tremendous joy in being sober, in living fun-filled, sober lives, and being able to share with you, as we have tonight, is best expressed in our closing song.
We'll see you later on tonight. Good night.